Are you struggling to effectively train both your customers and channel partners on your product? Well, NetExam is the all-in-one solution you need. As a leading customer and partner education platform, NetExam is purpose-built to help companies like yours deliver engaging, personalized training experiences that drive product adoption, customer success, and partner enablement. NetExam has worked for many years with companies that have the most advanced partner channels in the world, like Oracle, Dell, and Johnson & Johnson, with advanced features like customizable learning tracks, interactive content, robust analytics, and modern AI tools. NetExam empowers you to create seamless education programs that scale with your business for both your customers and your valuable channel partners. Stop wasting time and resources on ineffective training methods. Partner with NetExam and unlock the power of comprehensive customer and partner education to grow your business. Visit netexam.com to learn more today.
Welcome to C-Lab, the customer education lab where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and bad advice that stop growth dead in its tracks. I'm Dave Darrington. I've been hosting this with Adam for a long time. And today, I've been really excited to have this interview. Casey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dave. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming.
And hey, Casey, we've happened to work together for a while, all throughout the latter part of 2024. And really excited to talk about the program that we've built, because the work you've done over the last year has really, well, let's just say it is dumped into the core of what we call scaled digital success. And it's just been really great working with you. The program you put together in a short period of time is fun. Before we get into this and before we build the excitement, let's warm up. It's our days of the year, International Day of Time, where we always like to kick off the show with. And so what I'll do is I'll pull the options for the day. You get to pick one and tell us why you love it and get all warmed up here. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. So for today, we have, oh, these are fun. National Zoo Lovers Day. Let's see, Baby Massage Day. That's a thing, but I don't make a day of
everything
it.
Is a thing, yes.
And National Empanada Day. Like, I found my favorite, and National Pageant Day. What would you pick?
Oh, boy. I would have to go for Zoo Lovers Day. I love animals. Yes.
Yeah. Let's get out to your local zoo. Do you have a zoo in your area? Well, tell me a little bit where you're coming in from.
Yeah. So I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. We don't have a zoo immediately here, but in Columbia, which isn't too far. I was just there with my kids recently. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, zoo and a safari. So I had a blast at both.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool. Well, okay. We're warmed up. I love zoos too. Always take a little bit of time to get warmed up for the episode. So, okay, let's frame this up. Last year, ACU and I met. I was doing some independent work at the time, and you had a mission, and your mission was to bring together and launch your academy, Bionics vs. Academy. We'll talk a little bit about Bionic shortly. And how I like to lean into this is that, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And what I mean by this is what we've called customer education. And that's expanded a little bit. And the reason I really wanted to get you on to talk about the work that you did was to again, frame this up. We're talking about scaled digital success or digital customer success. And even more than that, if I were to talk about Adam and some of the things he's been working on, as Adam Avramesky is part of the show, he's been getting, he started a new podcast with Dee Kapila to talk about scaled customer experience. All of this to me is pretty much the same kind of thing. And what's important is that to scale, you have to get your, you know, your program together. You have to think about what you'd want to train people on. You have to assemble this. It's a Herculean effort. And you did it. And you did it in a really short period of time. So I'd like to have you take a beat, talk about yourself, talk about Bionic, and then let's pare this down and break it apart, because I think what you've done with Bionic and your system has really epitomized what somebody could do as a customer success professional and expert to scale their program really quick.
Yeah. It was a Herculean effort, as you mentioned. And yeah, it's been such a success, so transformative.
So tell me a little bit about Bionic. And yeah. Tell me a little bit more about you and how you got to Bionic. What is the problem space you're working in? Mm-hmm. What do you do with your customers? What are you bringing into the world? And what can you tell me about that?
Sure. So I actually started with our parent company too many years ago, a couple decades ago.
Oh, wow.
So I've been here for a very long time. But Nexmark is our parent company, focusing in the direct marketing industry. So we're B2B software, SaaS specifically. And with the Nexmark platform, we work with list brokers and managers to connect them together for the purposes of the list broker, specifically our core customer base. They are pulling together direct marketing, direct response advertising initiatives for their clients. And so they need to connect with the list managers who have these lists. They need to be able to find what is out there, who to contact, be able to track moving orders or the moving pieces of like what they want to recommend to their clients, and then move those into the state of ordering them. And managing the moving pieces of orders are very complicated in the direct marketing world, and then be able to handle the financials off of those. Right. And so that's kind of where we started as a company back in 2000, ages ago. And really have been the leading service for that, for the direct marketing industry. As time went on, obviously direct marketing has, it's not gone away by any means, but it's evolved as technology has evolved. You've got now the internet, and you have streaming services, and there's a lot of other modes of advertising that don't fall under direct response. They are typically handled by ad agencies. Okay. And this falls under everything from your television, radio, your out of home, your all of your online, your streaming services, so on and so forth. That basically every bit of advertising, under that very big umbrella, is handled by ad agencies. And so we recognized, as we got looking into the industry, they needed a similar service. Most ad agencies are using Excel to manage all of the advertising that they're doing and trying to manage for their clients. There's a lot of moving pieces. Isn't it insane?
2025, right?
I know. And this isn't to put agencies down by any means. They use really advanced technology in their other aspects of their advertising services. But the Excel stuck, and there really wasn't a lot of platforms that did the planning part of it. There's a lot of great services that do bits and pieces of this and that, but it's very modularized. It's very broken and was missing the planning aspect of it. So we stepped in with a platform that enabled them to take their budgets, manage the moving pieces of those budgets, figure out all the advertising they need to do. How are they going to be paying for it? What does that buy look like? What are their goals around it? And then be able to present that to their client to get those sign-offs to move forward. Right. Over time, we've expanded that to handle a number of different operations components. How do you build out tracking URLs, and how do you build out, naming conventions, and then tracking the orders, making sure those orders get off to the vendors. Then on the flip end of that is how is that advertising performing? You've got the plan in place in our system. Well, let's get those results back in as well to see, how things are pacing, right down to the day. Right. How is that going? To make sure that as things are running, that, hey, it's running when it's supposed to be, and that it's performing at a level that it should be. And if not, it allows you to the insight to be able to make those changes. So that was a lot of that was being done manually, in a very manual. So
that's a lot of work.
And then it also extends out into the finance end of it. So enterprise solution for ad agencies to handle everything from that budgeting through through the finance end.
Wow. And, okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I didn't set it up like this way with intent, but what you just talked about brought me back to the time where you and I started to work together. And first off, really cool, a space I'd never learned all this about. So I'm like, well, this is really sophisticated. And you've mentioned enterprise, and you've talked about this whole set of technologies that your platform specifically solves for, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're using spreadsheets. I mean, I work at Atlassian now, and you'd be surprised at how many people are trying to manage all of their production and stuff on spreadsheets still to this day, rather than adopting a system for. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to get to here is that it's complicated.
Very.
And if I'm not mistaken, you're a pretty small team with a big, really big mission. Mm-hmm. And you were at a point that we met saying, hey, I've got to build an academy. I've got to get not just build an academy, but I've got to get over the hump. So I'm not what you just explained to me. If you had to explain that to everybody and teach everybody that, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And
so you're stuck in that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, one of the things is it's not just about teaching, you know, click this button, click that button to do this function. You have to speak to people. And you have to help them, you know, part of the initiative that we were trying to solve for was onboarding. You know, that was a huge piece of it.
Onboarding for anybody or
anyone coming into our platform. So think in the context of I've been using Excel. It is really flexible. It lets me do whatever the heck I want. But guess what? It's very inaccurate because of user error, right? The formula is required. Oh, oops, I changed that and didn't realize. So now I'm $50,000 off and I didn't know it. And that doesn't get caught until down the path.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where change management was a huge part of this as well, is that I'm scared to move away, even though we may have issues with this, I'm familiar with this. And, you know, so as an individual coming in, I'm scared. I don't know what I'm doing. I know my job. I do my job well with what I'm familiar with. I'm scared to move over this new platform that kind of tells me what to do. I'm afraid I'm not going to have the flexibility I need. You know, and then as a company as a whole, right? Oh, I've got to change everything from A to Z to make this work. So education is compiled of not only telling them what buttons to push, but why do you need this? How is this helping you?
The what's in it for me?
Yeah. Yeah. And doing it in bite-sized chunks.
Okay. All right. I think we're warmed up. now I'm getting some goosebumps for multiple reasons. So Casey, I've got so many questions for you, but I want to stop you and come back. If Adam always says, I frame this up. That's the frame up.
And I appreciate that.
What you said in here in a very short period of time was several things. I heard you mention change management. I heard you mention the complexity of what you do to work with the person who's for these like digital marketing experts and ad managers and
these are media planners and buyers and ad operations teams and finance teams and account managers, you know, all of the people involved in advertising on the media end of it.
Right. So then let's go back a little bit and to frame this up, what I'm trying to get you to the point is you've got all this learning to do. You've got all these people to work with. Where were you a year ago? You're leading customer success. How many people do you have in your team to do everything that you need to do to enable and onboard, say, an enterprise customer?
Yeah. So we have worked with anywhere from 2 to 4 staff handling a very big customer base internationally. We had no resources. and we did everything live. All of our onboarding training calls were live. And the other thing I'll preface is we have a really unique customer success team. The fact there's only so many of us, we are everything. We are the everything customer facing interaction. We do sales. We do onboarding. We do any and all education, support, account management. You know, the customer is our responsibility from start all the way through, and you know, hopefully not to a finish. So that's our goal. So, you know, really, but it also means we know our customers really well. We know where they come in scared, where, you know, what do they need for communication to get them over some of those hurdles? What do they need to get over the hurdles and through the onboarding process? And what do they need after the fact? But we were also faced with time issues. Like, obviously, we were faced with losing customers because we can't stay on top of everything. We weren't always able to be attentive. I mean, we had really high ratings from a customer service score point. However, couldn't always keep customers. And, you know, you drop the ball and whatever might happen, it was not scalable. It limited the number of companies we could bring on. It limited us from every direction. But the question becomes, how do you take that and then find the time to build an academy?
And that's it.
Because that's obviously the direction you have to go. You have to make it scalable. You need to provide reusable resources that you just throw at people to utilize when it's convenient for them versus you.
Right. So the hypothesis or the thought that you had is, oh my God, I've got all this work to do. I've got all this huge book of business. We don't have any resources. They're not coming. Mm-hmm. We've got to make this work. And you naturally, and this is why I really appreciate working with you, particularly at in how your story unwraps at this time in history. And I mean, we're talking about customer success. Your hypothesis really is, I need a scaled academy, university content to solve this problem, such that transformationally, I can be doing that change management work. I can be doing the hard stuff, right? Yep. And get the easy stuff off my plate so that life gets better.
Yeah. And I needed it to be utilized for a lot of functions. It's not just training. I look at it from the perspective that if you need support, you may just need this one video that aligns with this, you know, knowledge-based document, right? And, but mm-hmm. you prefer to learn via video. Here you mm-hmm. go. So that was a huge part of like how I started all of that. And then if you're onboarding, you need to learn in a certain way. You need to be presented with this information in chunks that make sense to where you're at any given point in time and where your priorities are.
Right.
And then next level, certification. Certification is huge. It's really, it's big for the people that are partaking in it. It's also big for you as a brand to get your name out there and, hey, you're Bionic certified in X, Y, and Z. So it benefits everyone in the end. And so those were the critical points I was trying to achieve in that, along with, you know, account, you know, going back to existing accounts and making sure, you know, all of their employees are trained that are coming in, that, you know, that was a big thing that would happen is you'd get, you know, you get a client going really well, but then there you have this turnover, right? You have to do retraining on everybody, or somebody steps away for a while and comes back and they literally need to be retrained. So I needed to serve all of those purposes.
That's that, excuse me, that's that everboarding concept where
exactly.
We tend to think of training as, or onboarding as a one and done, but we neglect the fact that within our customer's account, people change, things change, forget. That's well put because, if I need to jump in and look at a short video really quickly to give, oh, I remember how to do this. Okay, that wasn't that hard. Because it's been 6 months since I've done this thing the last time, or 3 months or whatever. And now we're having that so that before you or one of your teammates would have to get on the phone and go through the whole thing.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay, well, I want to ask you a series of questions here, because once again, I think let's frame it up to what we initially started to do. Your hypothesis was dead on. You need to scale. We need to get moving here. But what was interesting to me is the how you went about doing it and the fact that you did it so quickly in context of, let's take, I've been at several different places for now building programs, and it takes years to do a lot of the stuff that you did in months, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You had the first platform with the Academy content and everything assembled within about 3 months.
Yeah, 3 to 4 months. Yeah.
Which is remarkable. So tell me a little bit about your, let's call it our learning stack. Mm-hmm. What did you have in place, and what were the bets you were making, like from a platform? I think you're using Gainsight, and then starting out in Gainsight CE. You use tools such as Camtasia and Synthesia.
Yeah.
This came together pretty quick. And of course, I was involved in this, but the point that I'm trying to make is that you did the work. Mm-hmm. You had the ideas.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Tell me about the environment that you're working in.
And actually, I would say the process in and of itself started well before we even spoke. I think one of the critical points that we did to start off with was we needed to overhaul our knowledge base. And so we had a decent enough knowledge base, but it wasn't as good as it could be. It mm-hmm. needed an upgrade, and the platform we were in had its limitations. So we decided to move that over to HubSpot. But instead of move, we rebuilt it from scratch. And we did that to create a structure, a few different directions here. Part of the structure was to ensure that the content was laid out in a way that was usable for an end user, that it walked you down paths of function. It introduced a concept, right, on page mm-hmm. one. And mm-hmm. then here's the overview of it, and built out from there, okay, here's what you need for part one of this, and that leads you to the next page, and so on and so forth. And it walks you through, here's what you need to do to achieve this thing you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. And so it's all kind of tied together. And so that was all documented in Excel, just kept it simple. But that set the stage for what we were able to achieve with Bionic Academy, because we already knew how this needed to be structured and laid out. Essentially, the knowledge base and the academy has this amazing alignment. There's some tweaks you have to do to make the academy kind of work a little bit better, because it's, again, it's video, it's different. It's a different communication, but it's all the same thing when it's all said and done. So that was my kickoff. And that was a huge part of what allowed me to move quickly with this.
So now, let me ask you a question on that. Mm-hmm. So then I like the idea of focusing with the knowledge base, and that's in the way you did it was interesting. So you're kind of followed paths, and, mm-hmm. And sometimes we call them click paths, but that's not what you were doing. You were assembling the ways to get to the outcomes that you were
doing. Yes. People are not using your software just to use your software. They're trying mm-hmm. to get a job done.
Right.
Right. Okay. Here's how you do your job. And so you break their jobs into pieces. Here's how you do it. And you create this hierarchy of process to achieve what you need to achieve.
Okay, I got it. So what I'm trying to do now is like pin down things from your discussion. So it's okay, Casey's step one, which is, all right, get your stuff together. What is our knowledge?
Yeah.
Like when we talk about the knowledge base, it's the written documentation mm-hmm. that expresses all the things that you can do. We reorganize that. We put that in HubSpot. That gives us, that would give you, I bet, a lot of information about within HubSpot, which of your accounts are working on your content, what are they doing, how are they putting everything, Oh, cool.
Yep.
So now you're here where you've
got the other that. The other part of that is you then have the ability to structure out each page to be AI friendly.
C-Lab is proudly sponsored by Thought Industries. They've got a super robust tech platform to run your customer ed program, and they've built a think tank and community. Just look, they've released the Customer Education Playbook, a definitive book on customer ed for practitioners. They've released frameworks like maturity models, assessments, and toolkits, and they've got great community events like the Cognition Conference, roundtables, and discussion forums. But of course, there's also the Tech Forward platform. Thought Industries has developed a headless solution to allow for heavy customization and has a multi-tenant architecture built to scale custom learning portals to your client base to deliver personalized learning for different roles and groups. Check out Thought Industries as you grow and evolve your program, especially if you're doing things like adding paid subscriptions, using free or freemium learning in your marketing strategy, integrating your learning data into your org's overall data strategy, or learning data to prove ROI. Check them out at thoughtindustries.com and tell them C-Lab sent you.
Right.
About AI friendliness back then.
Yes. Too. So now we're getting into the real high tech stuff, you know, being able to develop AI in such a way that you're able to use that. If somebody comes into a chat, how can it utilize this content to give answers without needing a human and try to do that in the most accurate way possible? And so that's, you know, something that's an evolution and takes time. And we actually had somebody come in and help build out that AI. But we're using it for our chat. We're using it to help kind of, at the very least, help provide suggestions for the agent who's on the chat. Say, hey, maybe this will work.
So that means you did tagging. Particular keywords and all of that. So
yeah, and there's a lot with structure that AI is dependent on to understand meaning, to create that hierarchy of content, and what are the topics that are covered.
That's amazing. And I think you tapped on that a little bit when we were talking, but that is a really huge asset, because it would have taken some time, and again, you said you had to bring somebody in. But then that set you up for this next stage where you said, yes. Okay, now we've got to go do the academy.
Yep. And when the AI stuff was done in parallel, and actually was not one of my personal projects, so I didn't have to build that. I was thankful for that part. So then, you know, we said, we've been knowing for years, we need this online video something academy certification. How do we go about doing this? So that required a ton of reprioritization on our end that, hey, you know, Casey is the one with all of this insight and knowledge and knows how to build out the moving pieces. So I thank you to my team. Here's my pieces of my job. Can you help me, you know, take on this extra work while I focus on this? So that way we can lift the pressure off of everyone when it's all said and done and focus on things that are more strategic and meaningful. And so, amazing team, thank you. But it enabled me to then work with our CEO. We found you, thank you. And, you know, Gainsight, and we sat back and said, you know, Dave has been my amazing person in organizing me. This was one of the most overwhelming projects I could imagine.
I shared your overwhelm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it really was, you know, you, Dave, thank you for helping me piece this down, focus on what needs to be focused on, and what do we do first? What do we do second? How do we organize this information in a way that's going to be usable and that will carry forward over time? Mm-hmm. How can we make this sustainable for the long haul that, hey, the software is ever changing. It's SaaS, you know, we can change it every month. How do we go about doing this in a way that we can also maintain it?
Yeah.
And how do we do this without Casey not having to work 24/7 for the next 5 years. So what we did was we defined, like, hey, you know, I have the insights into Bionic and how to educate our customers. I know Camtasia. I do not want to have to edit this. I don't want to spend hours pulling this together. I don't want to have to be on camera, you know, retaking because I make weird faces or can't talk right. Or, you know, what do you do for clothing each day and your hair has to be the same? Never mind a year down the road where you may cut your hair and whatever and have to do an edit and redo the whole video. Doesn't make sense. How do we chunk this down so that I'm doing what I need to do, but we automate the other pieces as much as possible or pull other people in as much as possible? And that was our saving grace for time.
Okay, I got a question. Mm-hmm. Got a question and some comments about that.
Yeah.
That whole thought process that you is interesting because you were talking about your clothing and I've been there, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm recording myself on camera. And normally you would do that all in a short period of time, which is just unrealistic and it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole process there led you down a certain path. I mean, you're already thinking about maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about style. You're thinking about, something's going to change. How do I do that? And you're naturally thinking about it's not just education, it's customer success at this point in all facets. And you're thinking about a method that's going to keep it evergreen or easy to update.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, let me take you back just a little bit again. What you've already got this great knowledge base. What is it that you uniquely desired out of an academy type, you know, now you're putting in a learning content, you know, learning management system, et cetera. What was the real hook for you, the driver that partnered with the documentation and the work you do adjacent to that? That's the high touch work that you were aiming for in your academy.
It was important to be able to provide users content that aligned with their learning needs, right? So you've got this great knowledge base, but there's a lot you can't say in that. Sometimes you need spoken word. There's, you know, some people work better when they can actually see it in action, explain where it's going. There's a lot more explanation. There's some of these little nuances that you can throw into video that are harder to document. You know, it just kind of pulls everything together and creates a more complete picture.
Yeah. So I get that. And I think there's a design question in there that I have around how you, and this is a shout out to the Synthesia folks because you use that platform and, you know, Camtasia along with it. What was the intent for that human, you know, like, why are you bringing a avatar or a character real, because you and I remember starting this way too. Tell me more about that. What was it that was important to you about that delivery form?
Yeah, so having a person speaking in video, you know, we had an old company used to call it the warm and fuzzies, right? The warm and fuzzy feeling, right? It engages. There's a real person, quote unquote, speaking to you. It makes it more personal. And helps people just engage a bit more versus just looking at, you know, screenshots or a screen share going across showing you what to do. It's that extra layer of personalization. However, you don't want to watch me having to do that over and over, and I can't maintain any of that. So after some digging around, you had provided a number of great options for AI narration. I tested out Synthesia and was blown away versus the other ones I looked at as to the quality of what came out. I literally had built these scripts for these videos, pasted it into this screen. And I, you know, took some time to figure out, okay, a face and a voice that align together, and you push play, and it's just all of a sudden reading, and you see this person with animated faces and expression, and, you know, some of them are better than others, but you know, you really could play around and find those great ones that just worked. And it allowed you to have diversity. You know, not just having the same person, you know, video after video after video, you could have a variety of different people. You could have male, female, you could have, you know, different ethnic backgrounds, different accents. You know, it's so cool to play around with that and, you know, be a little more fun at times. But it literally took like the narration part, which would normally take me hours. When I would pop the script in, I would do the QA check to make sure it was spoken properly the way I needed. And then you press the generate button. So my actual time in there was probably no more than 10 minutes. You press the generate button, and it might take anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the extent of the script. And it was done. I could go off and do something else while that was running, come back, take that MP4, pop it into my Camtasia project, and I didn't have to think about it. It was just there. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And I think the other question I have for you in that is, okay, I really like how this turned out. How did that resonate with your audience now that are looking through that content and going, oh, wow, oh, how did you do this? Or is it because of the characteristics of your field that warm and fuzzy human being added so much more engagement and value to the content?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to say. Here's the thing. Nobody has said a word about it. So there's actually, from my perspective, I do need to do some check-ins, see how that's working. But the overall, you know, obviously, like the content is made up of actual, you know, of the narration and voice and person, but also the literal content that you have to get through. Is that effective, right? So it's a combination of factors. The response on this has been overwhelmingly positive. So here's the thing, is I translate that to mean it's natural. It works.
Natural. That, yeah. That was what I was angling in on, Casey, that for me working with you as a consultant partner, you took the direction, you had a vision in mind, and that it wasn't about me. A consultant is there to help you get to the outcome you want. And I was surprised at the naturalness of everything that was coming out. And at one point I was like, video, that's cool, because I've done this and went through all that machination of thinking of, yeah, I'm going to be on screen, I got to do this, I've got to read with my voice. But the process that you came up with there really felt good. Yeah. And I look and I go, I want to engage with this content more, because you didn't overuse the video. You had the good voice, you know, because it's not just video, an avatar, but it's also the voice. It's also all the reading. And then adjacent to it, you also have what's happening on screen, your screenshots, your screen recording, and it all flowed together. And what impressed me as well was the ability for this to come together so darn quickly.
Yeah.
Once you got your, can you tell me more like about that process?
Yeah.
I think people would, like, we've talked about why you made design choices, and I think that's great. Other people that I would like to see some things you use more in customer ed and scaled success, because it's just really powerful.
Yeah.
But how did the process for you work out? Because again, I want to reframe this by saying the efficiency, the level of efficiency that you have once you got the machine going, which of course was not easy, came across so well to me and to others that were working with you to help you build this. Because it's like, okay, I got the script. I was overwhelmed by the amount of work that you did, because all the scripts were there. You had everything together, and things started to come together like clockwork. And then you're publishing.
Yep.
Tell me more about that. Yep. What are some of the challenges and the delight that you had in the experience that you came up with as a pattern for other people to hear about?
Sure. You know, I feel like most of the actual challenges were up front. Getting everything organized. How do I go about this? Everything that you were helping me with, like, let's, you know, prepare you on the things you're not thinking about. You know, you right. Help set that stage of, we need to make sure we're checking these boxes and thinking about these things for the future. once I got rolling with the content, it became a little routine, honestly. You do it day in and day out. But the reality is that, you know, I would do them in chunks. You know, there's this topic of things. Let me write out the scripts for these sections. Right. So I do those in chunks. So I might take a day or two, get a bunch of scripts written out, and then I'd take a day or two and record. All right. So you go in, you record your screen and do all of those pieces. And then I'd go in, grab the narration, pop that in. The other big piece was, ultimately, I did not want to edit the videos. I did not want to spend my precious time doing video work. So, you know, we hired Green Musk as a third party to do the work, that particular work. And so as part of that, I had to make sure that I was providing instruction of how I wanted it to turn out. So part of the script, you know, box this section, do this, do that, so on and so forth. And so, you know, that is kind of the challenge in that is communicating, you know, learning how to communicate with the person or people that you're communicating with to ensure that you're getting that effective messaging across. And so, you know, that didn't take very long to figure out. Once we got that rolling, you know, you have a couple, three edits for, you know, at most really, and they were done.
Yeah.
From there, you know, I kind of worked in this great QA process because, you know, I'd already been kind of QAing what I'd been doing, and then I had to QA what Green Musk was doing. So you're kind of catching, oh, shoot, this mistake, we got to fix it. But then what I would do is take that file that they finished up with, I would shoot that over to one of my colleagues. So we need to inventory all of these videos, and we use Wistia to store all of that. And within Wistia, we're able to kind of, you know, throw in, you know, all of the closed captioning and put in chapters and do all that fancy stuff to make it look good so people can navigate through. The other thing that we're going to be doing, which I'm so excited about, is languages. Holy cow.
Oh, we're doing it?
Oh, we're going to do languages. It's amazing.
How many?
I don't even know. I have to look. We haven't gotten that far yet, but we've been testing the languages. You literally say, okay, convert this into French. And all of a sudden this person is speaking French and it looks like they're speaking this other language. So very cool stuff. But it gives you so much flexibility to do that work. Then going into Gainsight, right? That's the challenge of having to figure out, like, okay, like, we've got all of these courses, let's get all the content in there, but you have to have summaries and, you know, key points. And, you know, it's like each course has a summary and then each video has a thing. And then at the end, you've got your quizzes and your conclusions and finish offs. It's a lot of writing.
Hey, listeners. Recently, I ordered some new equipment for the C-Lab podcast. When a couple of weeks had passed, I still didn't have it. I hopped online to check the tracking details. Yep, for sure, my order made it from overseas to the US within only a few days, but then it got stuck in a postal warehouse nearby for almost a week. And then it hit me. It's the classic last mile problem. For product suppliers, the most expensive and complex part of getting a product delivered to your customer's doorstep isn't the hundreds of miles traveled at the beginning of its journey, it's that final mile. Sound familiar? That's because it's the same with customer education. We create expert learning content for customers and users, and then what? Just 5% or less of that is sometimes actually even viewed. Most everything we create is at the mercy of CSMs and our customer admins themselves, and if they don't proactively push this material along to our users, most of them aren't going to go looking for it on their own. So, we're excited to share that Brainstorm is solving this last mile problem for customer education teams. Brainstorm enables you to empower your customers with turnkey end user training campaigns, including adaptive learning flows, events, emails, surveys, and more. Customers just have to hit go. Learn more and get a free 90-day trial today when you visit brainstorminc.com/CELab.
ChatGPT. Thank goodness. So this is where I was able to then utilize AI to come up with content. So I didn't have to think as much, right? So throw in all the scripts into ChatGPT, give me a summary, give me key points, and then you fix where it went wrong, right? But at least it gives you a basis. So you copy that, paste it in, make your changes. The other thing that was amazing is quizzing, right? After each course, create me a quiz. And so I didn't have to sit there and think of the question, think of the answers. Not saying it was 100% by any means, it's not. But it gives you a basis to work off of. It gives you some thought process and sets a stage for levels of quizzing that you want. Like, mine are not easy. Like, I intentionally made mine challenging, but you better be paying attention. If you want to be certified in Bionic, you better know what you're talking about. So,
can I ask you a question about that, though? Because yeah. I've used ChatGPT for helping me with knowledge checks and quizzes, mm-hmm. too. Did you prompt it in any particular way, saying, hey, impersonate a psychometrician? I always like saying that word next to telemetry. But you're an expert on Bionic, and I want to make quiz questions based off this script I just gave you. And did you see that the quality of those quiz questions as a result were very high?
Honestly, just saying, hey, create a quiz, gave me some pretty high quality questions. I was impressed. I was very, very impressed. So I didn't even have to dive down that path. I would get, you know, a handful of questions that worked or I needed to tweak a little bit. You know, sometimes I had to tweak the answers a little bit. But honestly, it gave me a really good base. And then I might have to throw in two or three just to fill in gaps where it didn't. So it was very simple. Didn't have to put a lot of effort into it, once it had a base for me. Because I know what the key points are you need to know for the quizzes. So that wasn't that challenging. It's just like forming the questions and what should the answers be. It just helps it so I didn't have to think quite so much all the time.
Yeah. All of these tool sets that you've used, I'm stuttering because I'm honestly just reflecting on all the work you did and how natural it was, how naturally this came together. And you have done all of the best practices kinds of things that you would do. I mean, you've offloaded a lot of the work. You've used technology in an appropriate way. You found best of breed tools that get you to where you need to be. And I think what all of this, why I'd hope you would talk through process, is that process matters more than anything, because you were able to get your production time down. You didn't feel, at times you were under a crunch, but it didn't seem at the end, after you put this all together, very onerous or problematic, apart from, occasionally you're going to have issues, but that's just normal day-to-day stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so what we worked on, I started that at the end of July, and had it completed by, mid-November.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
July, November. Huge. Now,
that made up, it was 90-some-odd videos that it was included in that.
Yeah, I'm just still having, a shock over how much content that was. Mm-hmm. So within a year, roughly, from start to where you're working on the knowledge base, and probably not even.
The knowledge base, I don't know, that was probably a 6-month project in and of itself. So, yeah.
Yeah, so over the arc of an entire year, you managed, let's do this now, because we can get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
We've talked about all the problem. We'll have our ChatGPT pull all this stuff out, because you have a guidebook, basically, for anyone who's similar to you, that one in their heart, I can do this. Yeah, that's reasonable, because it seems overwhelming.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more now about the differences and how you've been able to measure your success with this program? Because you've said, it's well received. How is all of this work that you've done now impacting your customer success? Your customer's success, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start by saying we started releasing out like the certifications, just that alone. Mm-hmm. You know, we had everything all released, but just in terms of measuring certifications, there was a trickle of those November, December, but you know, that, and then from the beginning of the year now, that's been really been pushed. We have issued over 150 certifications.
Already?
Yes.
Goodness.
So not too shabby.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, how that has transformed our existence is we overhauled our onboarding process drastically to incorporate this new learning tool. And so what we did was change, like when a company signs up with us, we change our messaging, and essentially we're doing, instead of doing, oh, here, let's do our first training, here, let's have a kickoff call, right? And in that kickoff call, we have this really nicely laid out what to expect. Here's how to think about this. Here's how to think about onboarding. Here's, you know, here are some steps you should take. Oh, here's the learning you're going to go down through. Here's links to everything that you need. You know, so it literally lays out, you know, from the time you start with this course or start with this learning path, walks you down through. And that all aligns with a time frame in which, hey, you know, you kind of have a 90-day window to onboard with us as part of, you know, your subscription with us. And so this is what you need to achieve through each of these points. Are you there yet? And so we've aligned all those pieces, and we went from having, on average about 10 hours of live training per company, regardless of the size.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. We now have, I don't know, we do like say 30-minute meetings once a week.
That's reasonable.
They are strategic, right? We are not training. We are sitting there having conversations about, oh, great, you achieved this thing. Oh, look, this is your next step. Let's remind ourselves of what we need to do to get to those next steps. How do you want to, let's talk about how to approach that. And then you answer those use cases that come up that, you know, training just isn't going to do. We've got this weird scenario. How do we handle this? Or we think about this in a different way. How do we handle this? So we're able to be there and answer those one-off questions, whatever's going on. And then, you know, help them think about, okay, here's your next steps to achieve your goal. Are you on track for the time frame you want to be in? Oh, you changed your priorities? No problem. Here, let's go down this path. And it helps us keep on top of where they are, making sure that their definition of success is being met, right? These are the things you prioritized when you came to us. This is, you know, you had pain points. You wanted to achieve certain objectives. Oh, great. You're achieving those. Yeah, so it helps them stay on check. It helps us stay on check, and helps them get to an end result. You know, when they're all done with this, and then they keep moving forward. And then we'll have, you know, points throughout our process of, you know, just their life cycle naturally to ensure that, hey, as we add things, oh, here's this new content for you. Here's some new certifications. How can we help you implement this next layer of capability that exists.
Wow. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah.
I scarcely don't want to interrupt, but there's a couple of questions I have.
Yeah.
One, are you using any other tooling like Gainsight's platform tools like Journey Orchestration or anything to get to, like, are you measuring time to value? Are you yet? Are you doing any other like regular CSAT or MPS stuff throughout that to
not yet. Yeah, not yet.
Quiz questions, you have surveys too.
Yeah. No, there's a lot more we could be doing. We are absolutely looking at this as like trying to keep costs checked in check, trying to make sure that we're not putting in too much technology. That's one of the worst things you can do is get more technology than what you can handle, right? Or than what is useful for your situation. There's a couple of checkpoints that we have that are really important is revenue, right? Are we making money? Are we increasing our revenue? If we are not, there's some major charge of that that falls on customer success. There could be another charge that falls on marketing or development or whatever, but there's a major charge of that that falls on customer success. Are we doing our jobs to bring companies on and keep them?
Right.
Are we responding to their needs? And if there's a product problem, are we moving forward with product to say, hey, there is this major issue where we're losing customers? Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces as to why companies stay and go and whatever. But revenue is that measurement that matters. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we are looking at is, you know, this engagement, you know, as companies are onboarding, you know, are they finding the success that they need through this process? What can we shift or do or change or whatever? So far, the results are good, but we're also still just in the beginning of April, where we have kind of this 90-day, this is all new. We'll see how all of this goes, right? And then there's that long tail of how long do they stay with you? At what point do they leave? Hopefully they don't. But if they do, why are they leaving?
Right.
You know, same thing. Are they not staying up to date? Are they not finding the value in Bionic that they need? Or, you know, did their business change and they just no longer need it? Or is the product poor? You know, there's a lot of different things to look at, but that initial sort of onboarding retention, the long tail retention, you know, those are key measurements that tell you what's going on without having to have a lot of extra technology behind the scenes. We're able to do a lot with automations with HubSpot to make sure things are happening, to make sure we're staying on track with things. So right now we're just utilizing the minimum of what we need for technology to track those pieces.
This is
great. We'll evolve over time.
This is great. Yeah. If you were evolving over time, what would be the next thing that you would think logically would fit into your program that you would want to do, that you're excited about?
Yeah. I'm definitely excited about the language part of things, being able to kind of diversify in that realm, because we are an international platform. And while the platform's in English, there's actually, we've had customers, you know, that work in different languages, and that's okay. It works. There's a lot you can enter in whatever language you want. It's fine. Right. We work across different currencies. So that would be a really cool component to build out there. You know, I'd love to see how we can expand those certification programs to be that much more powerful, to be sought after, right? That's a big one. You want people to want that certification. And so that's one of the challenges that I'm going to be looking at. And, you know, getting people, one of the things we have done is open this up for everyone. So how do we promote this to people that are not customers? We've had some success out of the gate. It's amazing. We have people that are not Bionic customers, but they're media people. And
oh, really?
Yep. And they're learning from it and they're excited about it.
Okay. I wanted to put this in there. This is open to anybody. So anybody can log in, create an account.
It is free for anyone to use. Yep.
But I want you to go deeper on that, because if this was an unexpected find, I've seen this too, but your story, I think, is great. You're doing kind of that agnostic, this is how you learn about your space, and you built that into your program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So by nature with what we do, so even though it's focused around how to use Bionic, but again, we focused on how do you do your job, right? So you can learn naturally through like how to use Bionic. Here's what, as part of your job, here's what you're trying to do.
Right.
you know, it happens to be, here's how Bionic can solve that. But this is what you're trying to do. This is what you need to do as a media person or an ad ops person or whatever your role might be.
Yeah, that is probably one of the top things that is, one, extremely hard to do, but two, really valuable for you as a brand. But it's the hardest thing for anybody to do to get to that point. But this, the value that it incurs is tremendous.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
So, and I would say the next thing as well would be utilizing AI. You know, how can we use AI to bring value? I mean, we've got this great content. How could we possibly use AI to bring that into the forefront, whatever that means? I think there's possibilities that I'm not even thinking of. But,
or any of us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's crazy. Crazy cool. I'm really impressed. Casey, again, just, I think this is a good natural break point where we can like debrief. Just you walking through this with the audience is going to be really helpful because you speak to so many of the things that should be exemplified in this kind of process. This is hard. This is no easy undertaking, but it's also attainable and possible. And you can get results in a short period of time within, you know, months, year, on very limited resources, which is pretty amazing. Okay, so let's do this now. You've shared so much. Thank you so much. And again, I just want to say that I'm continually impressed at the work that you and your team have done in short order to produce great content. You've tapped on every best practice there is. You've used all the technology that is really important and powerful to speed it up. And it's just been great. So before we get out the door, is there anything else that you would want to share with the audience? Recommendations, ideas, thoughts, warnings, cautions, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's overwhelming. But the reality is that it can be done. No matter how small you are, it can be done. And it's, I think, incorporating, like, asking for help is important. I think a lot of people forget that. You don't have to do it all yourself. And yes, it costs some money, but remember the costs incurred. But when you have to sit there and do live trainings and work weird hours to accommodate people's schedules and wash, rinse, and repeat, right? How much is that costing your company when you could just throw a link? Here's what you need. So that way your humans are doing thought work, strategic work. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, that's the point of our software in the first place, is let the humans do the human work, let the computers do the computer work. And I think a lot of people forget that. And, you know, you do sacrifice a little bit in the meantime, but in those, that time period of developing this, what you get out of it in the end is huge. And yes, you know, it may cost a little bit to invest in maybe a consultant to help. Well worth it. Well worth it. Saved so much time, so much aggravation. You know, I would have made more mistakes. You know, it would have cost well in excess of that. You know, utilizing like a Synthesia, holy cow, that's a few $100 a year.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of dollars were saved by utilizing that when you count my time.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind all the maintenance down the road. And then, you know, obviously, if you're going to have a learning management system, you need a strong platform to do that with. And they are not cheap. Yeah. However, again, think of employee costs. You know, if you had to hire 1, 2, 3, 4 people to do this job, well, guess what? You have well exceeded what it costs to utilize a platform like Gainsight. Yeah. So you have to think of costs in ways that you might not normally, you know, because you're losing more than, you know, people's time is valuable. Your customers' time is valuable. You think about that when they can access something, you know, 6 o'clock on a Sunday night because they happen to have some time to finally sit down and learn something versus during the week when they're pulled in every direction. Well, guess what? You just gained yourself a customer potentially who probably wouldn't have made the time during their busy work day. So there's a lot of cost to think about with that. Well worth investing.
That's a really great way to close this up, wrap it up, and sum mm-hmm. it, you know, sum up all the details, that ask for help, you know, use tools that are out there to make, you know, investing a little bit has so much of a net return
and
an ROI on you. And you've seen it all and you've exemplified it all. And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled how it all came out. And I'm thankful for having been a part of your journey, because it was fun to watch and learn and help be a coach.
Yeah. And I thank you for all of the efforts you put into me and patience you had with me working through all of that. It was amazing. Very good experience.
Yep. We're all learning together.
We honestly. Are.
And I'll be continuing to tell your story at events, and you should definitely continue to tell people what you've done, because it's really been helpful. So
thank you,
everybody will like this episode. And let's wrap it up. Again, thank you so much for your time, Casey.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find the site? I'll put the link in there.
It's going to be at academy.bionic-ads.com.
Easy. And anybody can sign up. I would like to, you know, with your permission, invite people to go check it out, check
Absolutely.
Out the work you've done, and learn something new, particularly my peers and people in our field that are looking at how to put things together. I'll send them your way, and hey, go check out Bionic Ads and Amazing Academy.
Yeah,
so let's do the outro here. Thanks again, Casey. This has been great spending the day with you and learning a little bit more. If you, my dear friends, want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education. There you can find show notes and other material. We're also part of the customer education community, where you can find, connect with, learn from, and share your ideas with your peers and leaders who are making a difference. Special thanks to our friend Alan Coda for our theme music. And if this helps you out, you can help us out by subscribing in your podcatcher of choice, giving us a 5-star review, please. That will really help us out. And our audience, thank you for joining us. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.